Find stories to take you further. It's the new ChicagoTribune.com, digitally remastered to fit your device and your life. Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein are here to talk about some politics. And Pat, or I should say Rick Pearson, will join us in just a little bit as well. We have an active disagreement in the studio in regards to Rahm Emanuel's new campaign commercial. Anna and Andrea don't like it. I do. Let me start with you, Eric. Eric is from the firm of Edelstein. You know, how many times have I pronounced your name three different ways? Well, I'll turn your microphone on.
It's okay. Edelstein.
EdelsteinListen.com.
I had a gym teacher in freshman year of high school who asked me, I said, either way, sir. He goes, son, you better decide. So we'll go with Edelstein.
Bob Smith this year. At Edel64. How about that? Let's stick with that. Anyway, I like the new Rahm commercial. I like it because I think he addressed the exact reasons that people ran from him and that led to the runoff. Agree or disagree?
Well, we're talking about it, and I think that's the goal, what they tried to accomplish. And I think people can have different opinions on whether he comes across sincere. I think he did what he needed to do in that ad. But again, as I said last week, I think this next 5 weeks is really more about Chewy than it is about Rahm. But I think Rahm kind of lays the marker down by saying, hey, look, I'm not, I rub people the wrong way, but, you know, I'm a big guy and I make tough decisions and that's what the city needs.
But it doesn't sound like you like it. I mean, this is what you guys do every day.
No, I think it was the right approach. I mean, I might have done it a little differently. Everyone has a different style, but I think the approach was absolutely right to take him direct to camera and talk to people. Look, mayor is the personification of a city.
Right.
And I think a mayor has to look you in the eye if he's asking for your vote, and I think it was smart for them to do that.
Yeah, and for a guy who has appeared to think he's perfect for the entire time he's been in office to say he's not for the first time, that was a little bit of ear-catching for me.
It was. Can I just say one thing to you, Stephen?
Yeah.
I was in D.C. this week. I was there the day of Netanyahu's speech,
sure.
The day the Hillary Clinton emails came out. You know what everybody wanted to talk about? Chicago. What's going on in Chicago? What's going on in the mayor's race?
Yeah. Is that right?
You know, you got these big world events going on, and everyone's like, oh, what's going on in the mayor's race? So it's got national attention now, for sure.
Well, this is a world city, and we have to ask ourselves, without really knowing what Chewy Garcia is made of, what are we voting for here?
I don't know. I thought the first Rahm commercial was going to be like him saving a Cocker Spaniel puppy out of the lake or something.
That's the follow-up.
Eric would have put
that's
together.
Like a Brian Williams
kind
of thing.
Oh, my God, it's Rahm.
Actually, that's the follow-up where a Cocker Spaniel does the polar plunge with Vince Vaughn.
And Rahm saves him.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's a burning model of Chicago floating by right behind him. It's a whole thing.
You know, that to follow up on your point about Chicago, I was out at the inauguration in 93. And we're there at all the big party, and it was the same there. People wanted to talk about Chicago politics because it, to people outside of here, is fascinating.
Well, think about it. Chicago city politics in particular for a generation longer, maybe for the entire last 100 years, compare it to any city in the country. What's more interesting in regards to city politics? There's nothing.
Well, and I think it's a reflection also on Rahm's stature in the party and in the country.
Right, right, right.
That people who are just tuning in are saying, wow, he's got a real race on his hands.
And the president coming in, I thought might take a little more heat for an inability to deliver his guy, but it's all about Rahm.
It is, and Chewy at this point. I mean, I think you're starting to see the drumbeat of, well, where's the beef? You know, Chewy, you're criticizing him on finance. You're saying you're going to put these cops on the street. Where's your plan? And I think you're going to – the question is, can he come up with kind of those hard choices that don't alienate segments of the electorate and segments of his base that keep him viable?
Pat, what do you think of the commercial? Pat Brady here. Pat, what's your firm?
Next Generation Public Affairs. I liked it. I agree with Eric. He had to trim his sales. I thought he should have done it sooner. We talked last week. I thought he would have done it in his concession – not concession speech, but his speech election night. But he did exactly what he needed to do, whether you like or dislike the commercial, the form of it. He needed to make that statement.
It's interesting that you said concession because we're all in that mindset, right? He won by 11 points,
right.
Yet we're all thinking it was a concession because we didn't expect him to be in a runoff.
Right. Look, there's a subtext to that ad and to, I think, the next 5 weeks, which is that, yes, Commissioner Garcia is a nice man, but nice isn't enough. It's a big city with big problems, and we got to get it done. I think, and Rahm is banking on that kind of being the message. Now, as I've also said, just I'm repeating myself, but a funny thing happens when the voters get involved. And because this is a case of first impression, since we went to this runoff system, we've never had a mayoral race.
Sure.
Nobody knows what turnout's going to be. Are a lot of people going to come out, or a few people going to come out?
Right, remember, Ron, he had 45, almost 46%. He only needs 4 or 5 more percent. If you subscribe to the theory that, you know, this was a lot of anti-Rom vote, are they going to vote anti-Rom twice? He doesn't need to get that much more to get across the line.
That's right.
Let's say there was 75%. Well, it wasn't 75. It was 65% of the people that didn't vote. Of the 65% of the people that didn't vote, who are maybe a little more engaged now, who see that commercial, there is an engaging thing that goes on when somebody says, you know, I screw up. I'm like you. And for people that don't know Rom or don't follow this every day, I think that's why that commercial works. But you, Andrea, and Anna, you both live in the city. You don't see it that way.
I just think it's a little disingenuous at this point. I think, you know, you to your point earlier where you said people didn't vote necessarily for Chewy, they voted against Rom. So for him to come out at this point and say, I think as Pat said, I think it's too late, but I don't want to.
No, I didn't say that.
Or he should have done it sooner. You said he should have done it sooner. Number one. But number two, I don't want a mayor up there who's saying, I don't always get it right. I just think.
But do you want the old Rom? Do you want the old Rom, my way or the highway?
No, but that's why I think it's disingenuous, because I think he's saying it now, realizing, oh shoot, you know, I forced this runoff. I think he's going to win.
Oh, only do I think that happened, I think there were people in the studio that went, yes, you do have
right.
to say it. Yes, you do.
Exactly.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
That's what I found so funny about it. It just felt like with all the handlers in the world, and obviously a lot of people got in the room and, you know, managed this ad, and then all of a sudden he just came across like he was a short fuse guy pretending not to be short fused for the purposes of this little small commercial.
So you were turned off by it as well.
And I just didn't like the energy of it, that's all. I mean, I understand why he did it, and I think maybe it is important for this mayor to say, I am willing to reach across and be more engaging with the voting public, and I hear you when you say that. That's important to me.
Who picked up the sweater, Eric?
The sweater bothered me, too.
There was a funny satire tweet that said, after they cut, Rom yelled at the director, you effing happy now?
It's like Mr. Rogers used to come in.
Right, the old Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, put the sweater on.
Would you guys have advised that sweater? I mean, is that what you would have gone with?
Honestly, I don't remember the sweater.
You don't? So. And then the paper neatly folded next to him with a glass of water.
Would
on
you
it.
Have tested 5 colors and the way the paper was
Not
folded?
Not even tested it. Just say, hey, what would you wear today?
The mayor is the last one, the last person that can criticize anyone else. Why? Because Chicago appears to be in a financial freefall that happened on his watch.
They say your greatest strength is also your greatest weakness. I'm living proof of that. I can rub people the wrong way.
Now, back to more Steve Cochran.
WGN Chicago.
You'll notice there was not a tag at the end of that commercial that said no one was killed in the filming of this commercial, because we believe the mayor did take out 3 of his advisors. Rick Pearson standing by at @rap30 is his Twitter handle, and you can, of course, read him in the Chicago Tribune. Get the paper. Would it kill you? And read it online at chicagotribune.com. See him on Channel 9 CLTV and hear the Sunday spin here. Who's your guest Sunday?
Sunday I have Northlake Mayor Jeff Sherwin. We're going to be talking about some of the governor's proposed cuts in assistance to cities, as well as talking about the upcoming oral arguments on that state, big state pension law lawsuit.
We were talking about the new Rom commercial, which I like a lot. Anna and Andre, who live in the city, don't like it at all. What seems to be the feel amongst people in the early airings?
Well, I think as you guys were talking about, Pat and Eric, about kind of just having to do a mea culpa seemed like, you know, step one in moving forward in this runoff campaign. And that seems to be pretty much accomplished. And frankly, you know, right after the election, the question to Emanuel was, well, are you going to change your style? And he said no. And that kind of seemed to run counter to what he needed to do. So, yeah, the ad is something everybody needed to do. But, you know, like Anna mentioned, you know, there's a question of sincerity here. And so that becomes the real interpretation here. How do voters interpret it? Is it a real mea culpa, or is it just the political one?
As we get closer to April, is it 7th?
Yes.
As we get closer to April 7th, the city has to, you know, whether it's a 40% turnout, a 35, a 45, a 50. I mean, obviously, we'd like it to be as big as possible. But people have to go in for that vote and decide who is really going to be able to manage the city. Have we heard anything from Chewy Garcia by way of specifics yet?
No specifics yet. And, You know, as he says, he's got a team of advisors. He's putting things together. No specifics. But, you know, on the other hand, you haven't heard a great deal of specifics from the mayor either on things like the looming $550 million police and fire pension increase, where that money is going to come from. All the mayor has said throughout the campaign is, well, you've seen what I've done in the past. I've held the line on property taxes. You have to judge me by what I've done. But he hasn't offered, he hasn't ruled out property tax increase to pay for that. So, you know, you don't have a great deal of specifics on both sides. And, you know, yeah, we want specifics, but then again, you had Bruce Rauner get elected governor without very many specifics at all.
Let's switch to Rauner quickly before we run out of time with you. And again, the Sunday Spin Sunday at what time?
7 to 9.
7 to 9, so be listening. And you got any TV or newspaper you want to plug for the next couple of days?
Oh, just keep buying the Tribune. We've got lots of stories on this mayor's race developing, believe me.
All right, Governor Rauner, it's been a fairly quiet week. Did we miss anything?
Well, he's been going around to smaller communities around Illinois. I know he's supposed to be in Freeport and Rockford today, basically trying to sell his turnaround plans. And it's kind of interesting that he is kind of purposely staying out of the higher profile, larger media communities around the state as he does this, trying to generate grassroots support for things like right to work zones, the continued criticism that he has on public employees unions. In Springfield, a couple of lawmakers have asked Lisa Madigan for an attorney general's opinion on whether the state can legislate or local communities can legislate these so-called right to work zones where union participation would not be mandatory. So we're waiting to see when that kind of decision comes out as well.
The governor did a commercial with Ditka in his campaign. Any chance that Rahm and Ditka will sit down where Ditka can tell him you're an idiot, you got to be more likable like me?
Ditka wins, right? Even Mini Ditka wins against Mini Rahm.
Ditka's been screaming at people for years and everybody loves him. Maybe Rahm needs to figure that angle out. I don't know. You got to win a Super Bowl, Rahm. You got to win a Super Bowl. Is that it? Just win a Super Bowl. You'll be fine. Thank you, Rick. We'll hear you Sunday.
All right. Very good, Steve. Thanks.
More coming up in a second with Eric and Pat. But before we get to that, let's get to this. Another traffic update on your trouble spots. What do you have now?
The mayor should go to Springfield and sit with Rauner, maybe open up one of those expensive bottles and figure out how he's going to really fight for the people of Chicago.
It is 7:51, Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, number 360, as we continue. Eric, tell everybody what your firm's name is again.
Edelstein Liston.
And what is the daily work you do?
We do electoral campaigns and public affairs in Illinois and around the country.
And Pat Brady, what is yours?
Next Generation Public Affairs.
Same sort of work?
Yep, but no electronic. I refer that to Eric.
Okay, good. Pat, the idea of Chuy García being mayor, being the populist candidate, has some momentum, but without specifics, why aren't people more scared right now?
Because he hasn't talked specifics. I think when he starts talking some of the specifics, or at least the things I've heard him say in the past, or I've led to believe he believes from a policy perspective, I think it gets pretty scary.
And Eric, if we go with the adage, people know what they like, they don't, or they like what they know, they don't know what they like. That's the intent. They like what they know, they don't know what they like, which is a general human characteristic. Could you have another, I'm voting against Rahm, and I'll just see what Chuy's made of? Would people take that chance?
You know, look, we're in a time of dysfunction and disruption where people have short attention spans, and they're never satisfied with what they have. Mm-hmm. And I think that plays out in a lot of our lives, and it plays out in politics. And that's why I think it's very hard to be an incumbent these days. I think the debates are going to be fascinating. I don't know that I ever thought I'd say that on a mayoral race in Chicago, but I think those two guys standing on a stage kind of trading ideas and trading blows might be determinative ultimately.
Yeah, Chuy wins the debates. Chuy wins, you think?
Well, I think as we know, when there's a stature gap, when the guy is on the stage with the guy who has the better stature, just by being there, you look bigger. The question is, can he hold his own against Rahm, who is an incredibly smart and incredibly substantive? And we'll see whether he can rise to that moment.
Any downside to Chuy taking pot shots at the governor?
None.
I don't think there's ever a downside.
No. I mean,
for no, that. And I mean, that's an old play. That's nothing
I
new, right?
I actually thought, and whether it was true or apocryphal, that the story of Rahner trying to get Wilson to endorse Rahm and then Kirk coming out for Rahm, are they trying to help him or are they trying to hurt him? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I don't think Republicans in against a progressive being for the incumbent mayor is something necessarily politically he wants.
No, and you know, the reporting I thought there was a little, I don't know if even that ever happened, but just got into some gossip columns. So, no, I don't think so.
Well, Kirk's statement to me this morning, did the interview yesterday, was that Rahm has a relationship with the bond traders and the financial folks that the city needs to thrive and survive that Chewy doesn't understand.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you went back in the record and saw some of the quotes that Mark Kirk's made about Rahm Emanuel over the years, they would be less laudatory than that. So I don't
think he said he liked him.
Yeah.
You know, what he said was he's better than Chewy for the job.
Sure. So
Let me shift you to Netanyahu and the speech this week. Pat, what'd you think?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a great speech. I thought it was well delivered. And I think co-equal branch of the government got to hear what the prime minister thinks. And I thought it was tremendous.
And what were your thoughts?
I mean, look, there's a bigger issue here, which is the relationship between the United States and Israel, which is you know, taking a hit, but will be strong going forward. I thought it was a bit cynical. I think it was cynical on Boehner's part to invite him. And look, Netanyahu is a politician. And yes, he's a world figure, and he's in a crucial spot, but he's a politician running for re-election, and he's got a re-election in less than 2 weeks. And this was a political statement for a domestic audience that he could stand up to a president that's not that popular in Israel. I don't think it was a lot more than that. I don't mean to sound like a cynic. I also thought it was a bit patronizing, frankly, to come onto American soil and kind of lecture the United States. But, you know, it is what it is. It's politics, and we'll see how it plays out.
But let's talk about the voters in Israel for a second. They can be just as cynical. They're certainly just as smart as American voters. How does it weigh with them?
I mean, it's probably a cynical, smart political play by Netanyahu, and he was aided by the Speaker of the House to do it.
The speech itself talked about what I believe is an impossible situation, like so much of the Middle East, because the idea that you can sanction Iran into behaving is probably as ludicrous as the idea that you can trust any deal that you make with
them.
That's
not true, though. That's what got him to the table in the first place.
The sanctions.
So you can sanction them. And the president presents false options that if this doesn't work, we're going to war. Well, that's not true. If it doesn't work, we go back to sanctions. And that's what got him to the table in the first place. So I think, Eric, I understand the argument about the cynical nature of the speech, but part of that was brought about by the president not involving the prime minister in the negotiations. I think he kind of felt left out of the whole thing. And, you know, his country is fighting for its existence. So I don't blame him for coming over here and doing it.
Well, I mean, I made that point, too. If Canada said we're going to wipe America off the map, I don't think we'd call Israel to ask what we'd want to do. I know the relationship is different and the balance is they need us. But having said that, isn't it a little bigfooting to say to the prime minister of Israel, you have to do it our way?
Well, I don't think the United States is saying we have to do it this your our way, but I think what they're saying is, you know, let's not let perfect be the enemy of getting something done, and we have to keep Iran from getting the bomb, and we feel like, and our experts feel like, this is the best step that we can take at this moment. And Netanyahu's position is kind of an absolutist position that, as you say, Steve, is a little bit unrealistic. And I think he tempered it a little bit because in the past he had said, you know, zero nuclear activity, whether it's domestic, you know, not even weaponized. And he sort of backed off that a little bit in his speech.
Yeah, but the ultimate game, and I thought the best point for the public to see, was this 10-year deal where they actually can get nuclear weapons in 10 years. And, you know, a lot of people don't want them ever to have nuclear weapons. So, but he did back off a little bit. But there's got to be a middle ground just on the number of centrifuges. You think that would be the deal, not actually allowing to get it in 10 years.
Yeah, but I remember when, Pat, in particular, when you and I were growing up, you'd watch Walter Cronkite at night and we'd see a missile count, you know, a little cartoon missiles. We have this many, they have that many. It just takes one or two. So we get caught up in how many centrifuges they have. The development is fairly limited in what they would need to be a problem. Pakistan and India, for example, one's very much bigger than the other, but they have a standoff because somebody's got a missile across the border. The thing that concerns me about sanctions is what's the end game? Because the end game has to be you have a leadership change, or the people force a leadership change. And in Iran, I don't know that that's ever possible.
Well, had we engaged when we almost had a leadership change a few years back, we might have had a leadership change. But listen, going back in our little time warp, I remember freshman year in college when these were the guys that took our people hostage over there for 444 days. These are bad actors that are in charge right now, and we have to treat them like that, and we can't trust them, I don't think.
And I think it points to something, you know, politically for 2016. You look at that situation, you look at growing American opinion about how to take on ISIS. You may have a foreign policy presidential election this time.
I've been saying that for 6 months now, and it's going to be fascinating. And the difference, I thought the difference between this debate and the ISIS-ISIL debate is another fascinating debate.
Gentlemen, thank you, and you're always welcome here. You got any blogs you want to plug? You don't do blogs, do you?
Who?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I do.
Eric, are you doing a show anytime soon? Eric on Ice, anything like that?
No. Okay. I passed. Okay. Now the Hawks are back in town.
So. All right. And since neither one of you are directly involved in the campaign, I'm going to ask you this every time you're in. Who wins if the vote's today? The mayoral race.
Coin toss.
Thanks for going out on a limb.
Right?
I got
Rom. Honestly, can I qualify it? I think the mayor needs to win because I think he's right on policy. But if the vote were held today, I think Chewy wins.
It's a minute before 8. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.